Believe it or not, it's the gospel. It is the gospel, but not everybody believes it. Gospel means what? Good news. But some people, the news is not so good, or so they think. We're looking at Romans 10, finishing the chapter, verses 11 through 21. And as we look through these chapters, 9, 10, 11, we ask ourselves, why are there so many Gentiles believing and so few Jews who are believing? And to prove his point, Paul uses many verses from the Old Testament, 31 verses in these three chapters, 12 in chapter 9, 11 in chapter 10, and 8 in chapter 11. He's trying to show that God all the time had a plan to move from one nation to all nations. And so this is not a change of plans. This has always been God's plan. And the way Paul tells us in Galatians, he says, the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, how? By faith. Preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham when he said, all the nations will be blessed in you. Some people think God's justice, that means God loves just us. But Paul says, no, in God's justice, he is able to justify the unjust and still remain just because there's a way in the law in which he can pardon the guilty through the sacrifice of a righteous substitute. And that's what there is. Now, some of you remember being a child. Anybody here the oldest child? Okay, do you have a sibling? And sometimes the oldest child would have been happy to be the only child, right? And that's what some of the Jews felt. Why would God expand it and let others come in? Isn't it just enough that we're here? Why would he make his family bigger by including more? And so God has always had the plan of in bringing in all the nations. He will save the nations. And how does he do that? He saves nations because some from every nation will be there, but it's only those individuals who repent and believe in the promised Savior King that God promised right from the beginning. We saw this even in the garden. The seed of the woman would destroy the serpent, and he would be bruised on his heel. And then God covered them with what? He covered them with animal skins as a picture of atonement. The innocent animal lay dead, the skin is on them, and they look like the animal, so that when God sees them, he sees them covered with the animal, a picture of the covering of Christ. So right from the beginning, there's always been this picture towards Christ. And then in Genesis 12, quoted in Galatians 6, this was the promise to Abraham. All the nations would be blessed through you. We see this. It's not just in the beginning of the Bible, we see it at the end of the Bible, in the last book, the book of Revelation. What does it say? And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you, this is to the Lamb, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain, and you purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. God will save Israel, but again, only those individuals who repent and believe in God's promised Savior King. Let's remind ourselves of the closing words of Luke's gospel out of Luke 24, verses 45 through 47. Here, the Lord appears to his disciples in that room, and he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, this is what was written, that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name, the name of Christ, to whom? To all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. We just celebrated Easter. And this is the fulfillment of the scriptures. The Messiah comes to save sinners. He suffers in their place. They confess, they repent, and they believe, and they're forgiven. And again, we ask the question, why do so many Gentiles believe and yet so few Jews believe? That sounds like good news to the Gentiles, but some of the Jews, it doesn't sound like such good news. Their Messiah murdered by the Gentiles? This was a cause of stumbling. And that's what Paul told us in chapter 9, the end of chapter 9. He said, but Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, just as it's written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. That's what he says. And now let's start reading. I'll read the first verse in the italics, then you read the second verse in non-italics. Out of Romans 10, verses 11 through 15. And I'll repeat it so it's picked up by the mic. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard?
How will they hear without a preacher?
Okay. How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Now, where does this verse come from? This last verse that we just read. It comes out of Isaiah. And here he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations. Go ahead, read with me. That all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. Surely, he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. So, Paul is quoting Isaiah, And Isaiah is understood by many to have one of the clearest pictures of the sacrifice of Christ in the Old Testament. And Isaiah, in his context, was announcing good news to Israel, who was to be in exile in Babylon, and then God said, after I punish you, I will bring you back, and God will be your king again. But this is a picture of a greater redemption and deliverance than just that. And so that's why Paul talks of that. But what was the cause of them being exiled into Babylon? Idolatry. Idolatry. And Paul quotes that. And that idolatry was prophesied by Moses. At the end of Deuteronomy, he says, a time will come and you will chase after other gods and you'll forget the God who saved you. And you will make me jealous by those which are not gods, and so I will make you jealous by a people that's not a people. But Isaiah, in chapter 53, verse 1, and Paul quotes him here in Romans 10, 16, he says, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? And that's how the section on the suffering servant starts. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And he tells us back in the chapter just before, a few verses before, he says, who has seen the arm of the Lord? To whom has it been revealed? He bared his arms, his holy arms, in the sight of what? All the nations, that all of the ends of the earth would see the salvation of our God. So this is right in Isaiah, as in all the Old Testament. 700 years before Christ, revealing what Christ would do. So, the Jews and Gentiles are equal. This is good news for the Gentiles, but not all the Jews considered it good news. Let's read this now, verses 17 and 18. I'll read 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again, an Old Testament quote. What's this from? Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. Their voice goes out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Paul started this way in Romans 1, remember that? In chapter 1, verses 18, he says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress, hold down the truth by their wickedness. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature, this universe has been created. Whoever created it is prior to the universe. He's bigger than the universe, and he's intelligent. They have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. But what did they do? They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. What is man's basic sin? Idolatry, worshiping the created order, the created thing, or something in creation, rather than the Creator. It's idolatry. Going back to Romans 10, let's read together Romans 10:19. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. Even Google is listening to it. This is good. And so this is a quote from the end of Deuteronomy. I mentioned it earlier. They have made me jealous by what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols, these false gods. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people, and I'll provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. He's wanting them to feel their own sin by having it come back on them so they might repent. Sometimes we don't know what we do wrong until it happens back to us. And so there he predicts that they would turn away from God and they would turn to idols. Here's the problem. After they came back from the Babylonian exile, they never had idols again. So what is Paul talking about here? There were no idols after the exile. He said they had traded God's way of salvation for their own way of salvation. God's way of righteousness for the human way of righteousness. Is that idolatry? I don't know. What about this? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So if there's another way, what is that? Idolatry. The God-man says, I'm the way. There's only one way. Oh, there's another way. That's a false god. That's worshiping the creature does rather than the creator. And so he's calling their false way of righteousness idolatry. Let's read the last two verses of this chapter. Chapter 10, verses 20 and 21. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Those are some hard words. Here's some other hard words where the Lord said to the Jewish leaders, the teachers of the law, the religious people. He said, you diligently studied the scriptures because you think that by them you will possess eternal life. And those scriptures are the very thing that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you might have life. I do not accept the praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? Imagine Jesus telling this to the most religious people. You can tell they're religious just because of the clothes they wear. Saying they value men more than God. They value the creature more than the Creator. And to value the approval of men more than the approval of God, that is idolatry. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. God's salvation wasn't going to be just for one nation. It was going to be for all nations. And the only way that was possible is God had to send a perfect substitute to save sinners. And some of them didn't like to think of themselves as sinners. They liked to think of themselves as having the ability to be approved of God by what they did. This is how Paul says it. He says, here is a statement that everyone should accept and pass on. Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners. And he says, of whom I'm the worst. But for the very reason that I'm the worst, I was shown mercy so that me, In me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example to those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. And then he goes into a doxology. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. How does God get honor? How does he get the greatest glory? In the work of Christ. And when people abandon their self-righteousness and say, I'm a sinner, I need to be saved by Christ, then, because Christ went to the cross, God's given him a name that is above every name, and every tongue will confess and every knee will bow, and this will bring glory to the Father. So we must value and trust Christ's sacrifice and the power of his resurrection for our salvation and for the glory of God. Now, earlier he said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, whether they're Jew or Gentile, they'll be saved. But how can they call if they don't believe? And how can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless someone tell them? And how can they tell them unless they're sent? Now let me ask you, are you sent? Are you? Are you sent? Did God send you with the message? I think that was a yes. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I send you. He said, you are my witnesses. Begin in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then go to the uttermost parts of the world. It's you, plural. The commission has been given to us as a group, and the churches all around the world. But yes, we are sent. You are sent. It's given to the church. And we need to be telling people. And some people will receive what you say, and some people won't. Don't worry. Not everybody believed Jesus. And they didn't all believe the apostles. But just think about it. Some people will receive what you say, and they'll be so happy, they'll think your feet are beautiful and fragrant. Because you coming to them with the message will make them so happy, they'll just overlook what your feet really look like. They'll be just so happy, overwhelmed with the goodness of this message. And so, let's believe it. If you haven't called out for Christ, you need to do that. Be thinking of the people that you can share this with. Be praying that God gives you opportunity to share with them. And remember, this is good news. This is so good that people think the feet are beautiful of the people that bring it to them. And so, it really is good news. Believe it. It's the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the good news, and we believe it is good, of the sacrifice of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were that willing sacrifice. No one could take your life from you, but you willingly laid it down. You had the power to lay it down, and the power to take it up again, proving who you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Thank you for this body of people who believe this. Lord, may we encourage one another, especially when we feel rejected and people reject the message, but may we be very encouraged whenever someone receives Christ and a sinner repents and believes Christ, there's a party in heaven, and we should celebrate as well here. Thank you for that. Use us to be your witnesses, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.